All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Tyler Yaremchuk here to tell you I'm fucking disgusting, bro. And I generally stink like piss because I don't wash my hands. I piss on them.
Oilers Nation real life.
Full of piss.
New pod taking the piss.
I piss on them.
I actually piss all over myself. Like, yeah. The hands aren't even the problem.
Wow. Piss on them.
Oh, somebody drinking their own urine is totally plausible.
You can find a way to mix in a pee jar.
Full of piss on them.
Sometimes I don't even take it out. I just go.
I don't wash my hands. I piss on them. Piss on them.
Pat did say he can make us new intros if we give him templates, but he says he saves funny clips of us.
In a company that's priding itself on aligning with big brands and multinational tentpole events, welcome to real life.
Welcome to real life.
So it's very odd, or not odd, that BM was just walked in. So Tyler had to set up the show, and Tyler got to pick the intro, and he picked.
Have you heard it in a while?
His own piss entrance.
That makes sense.
It does. Welcome back, boys.
Yeah.
What a weekend.
Oh, thank you.
Whirlwind.
First real life in a week, I guess. We did have the interview episode that dropped. Chatted with two-time Olympian John Morris. I know none of you would have heard it, but the listeners would have. And he talked about condoms in the Olympic Village.
Lots of them.
So he said in Vancouver, there was like the wild thing about how many condoms were used at that Olympics. And he was like, listen, a lot of the athletes, he said, from less fortunate countries, he goes, I caught a bunch of them basically going and just stuffing handfuls into their bags. And he was like, I think some people just thought they were there to grab.
So what, is there just bowls of condoms all over the Olympic Village?
You get, how many athletes go, how many athletes do you think go to the Olympics? 800? You get that many people, that good looking, that in shape.
They've been training for years with no distractions.
They finish off their
event.
They get silver in the luge, and now it's time to bang.
Pretty much what it is.
Yeah. The testosterone is high.
But anyways, if you missed that episode, go back and listen to it. John's really good. He's an Oilers fan as well. So had a good conversation there. But we were in Toronto living it up.
Living it up. Wow. That was there's a lot to unpack from Toronto. First of all, that is like you were there for the full extent. I came and Bag Milk came home and Liam came home Friday, super late night after we were kind of done the content piece of it, which was the primary focus. But holy cow, from 8 a.m. until 2 a.m., it was go, 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 go.
Did you guys, other than doing your content and wicked looking studio, by the way, set up, noticed a lot of cool things about it. Number one cool thing, sponsor Seagram's VO, another whiskey company. On board for a little piece.
Oh man. And it's good stuff.
I saw it there and I'm like, oh man, we're going to run through them all. Next is going to be Alberta Preams. When they find out what a, we're going to stick with C.
I'm a VO
it
man.
Is good. It is good.
So smooth.
Yeah. Seagram's VO is very nice.
Friday. It went down good.
But also like just the overall, podcast studio you guys had looked awesome. I noticed that you guys, the forethought to have the different colored LED lights for the different colored shows. You know, you had Flames Nation with the red, you had Oilers Nation with the orange or the blue and the orange. It looked good, man.
It's those little touches that keep Alberta Premium away and a VO
and,
a premium
and the
brand
real premium in. Brands.
The premium brands want color changing LEDs.
Despite Alberta's premium's name, it is not premium. It's a lower level whiskey. But it looked cool. So other than your guys' content, did you guys get to go to all the events? Were you around the atmosphere of the arena?
It's impossible to go to all the events.
So when I say all the events,
every night there was like six different ones.
What I mean by events is the on TV experienced events, the draft, the skills competition, the actual All-Star game. Were you guys at those events?
Game, they didn't. I went to it was interesting. I went to an event at the Hockey Hall of Fame that was around watching the draft. Mm-hmm. So it was like a bunch of old NHL alumni were there, got to cruise around.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hockey Hall of Fame with an open bar.
The way it's meant to be enjoyed.
It's very enjoyable.
Open bar, as in like that front area, right? When you walk in, there's those restaurants. No, there's like three or four different restaurants.
In the Hall of Fame, there's like three.
It was right in there. You didn't have to go back up into the mall.
No, I'm in the hall. I'm in the hall, looking at the Stanley Cup, sipping on a brew.
Right.
That's cool. Meanwhile, little mini shepherd pie. Oh my God, they were so good.
Like crab cake sized shepherd pies?
Like a crab cake sized shepherd pie. Oh my God, it was so good.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. I shared one with Luke Gazdick.
What are these? Bobby Orr shin pads? Eating a shepherd's pie?
Yeah. I have to say, from the on TV product, was a lot different this season. And I think they did a very good job in most regards. That draft was terrible. And I get it.
You gotta start somewhere.
You put microphones on hockey players, you can't expect a lot. You're not gonna expect the banter back
unless
and forth.
You let them have a few brews.
But here is my kind of problem here. You've got a celebrity team captain for each team. You've got Tate McRae, Michael Bublé, Will Arnett, and Justin Bieber.
Wow. How do you go last? How did you have to snap your fingers?
But here's my takeaway from it. They were supposed to be the ones that provided the interesting content. Will Arnett is one of the funniest people I know. I've heard of comedian. I listen to his stuff. I think he may be one of the funniest human beings on earth.
Yep.
Justin Bieber is cool. Tate McRae is cool. Michael Bublé is like the guy that's like, okay, Michael Bublé, he was famous. By far the best one. Yeah. He had the most banter. He had the most interaction. Justin Bieber acted like he didn't even want to be there. He sat in the corner. Like he
was stoned out of his mind.
Is he always like,
he was on them things?
He did this
for
concert.
Sure.
He did that pop-up concert or whatever, surprise concert.
His first time performing in 2.5 years. Don't say whatever.
He was sitting on a stool and looked like he was greased out of his mind.
He battling that, like, get some condition, right?
Yeah, he's got Addison's disease or something.
What is
even
that?
Though he was playing hockey, so that was fine. It was like a balance thing or something, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Nerves, well, I'm not going to call too much into that. Like, if he's got to sit down, he's got to sit down, but he just didn't say anything. He just wasn't talking. And Will Arnett, like, I think it's one of those things where he does a lot of blue comedy and like a lot of his stuff is like in the moment reacting to something. There was not much of that to be had. Plus, this is like a family friendly event, right?
We went after the draft. So these guys went for dinner. I went to that Hall of Fame thing and then Tyler and I hooked up and Liam.
Are you hooked up, eh?
We'll say it.
Nice.
Yeah,
I wanted to go and learn. We went to the Spit and Chicklets live show.
Yeah, cool.
Which was just an absolute shit show, but Will Arnett was there.
Yeah.
And you got to see like a candid, he was hilarious.
So
see, funny. When he can say anything he wants, yeah. he's like opens, it, yeah, it opens
he,
him right up.
He let her buck. He was fucking.
What was he talking about?
Anything and everything, probably things you shouldn't say.
It's not like he came there with
prepared bits.
He was just Any his one liner,
his observational one liners, observation
or just so yeah, fun, just like just so cut good the guys down. Like he was just there and just like exacted his comedic dominance over the crew.
Yeah.
Right. So just like funny one liners, it could be whatever, but yeah, no, he was funny and he, I wish he was on there longer to be honest.
Yeah. The rest of it was kind of all right. But yeah. Arnett was really, really funny.
I sat next to Terry Ryan Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Taran Sanwith, who's from Edmonton. You might know him. And the goalie in Shorzy.
Yeah, I forget his name.
The guy who's the goalie in
Shorzy. Like in the crowd?
Right beside, yeah.
Like, was this whole thing just a bunch of like, that sounds like a bunch of names in one little area. Was it just names you knew everywhere? No,
I was just in the row where there was names.
Oh, okay.
Because I guess Frank got me tickets and he got them from Biz.
Oh, good.
So I was in that alley because by myself, because Tyler and them were in different seats. But yeah, no, it was what you thought it was going to be. But it was just interesting to see kind of like what a live show was, like 1,000 people in a theater.
And pausing so, for laughter or taking questions or what is it?
Yeah, so do they have not a structure really, to their not, live no. show or do they just go out there like, and just start winging it?
I think they go out there with a structure and it's just mayhem within seconds. And it's them yelling at the crowd yelling at them. Like it's just like it was just fucking mayhem.
So they start the show. It's like all black and theater can't see anything. They do like this wrestling style intro. They're like, oh, now time for the moment you've been waiting for, the number one hockey podcast in the world. And then the lights turn on and it's just Merrick and Friedman sitting on the couch, like 32 thoughts. And they're just booing
them. That's actually very funny.
Yeah. You got to see a side of like Merrick and Friedman that you don't yeah, really
it,
see.
Which yeah. Is it's funny. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, it was, you got to see them, you know,
it was a really funny thing.
Be dudes.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Spit Chicklets guys, we saw Whitney and Hunter embrace. He's back. That might be a kiss of death for us though. He
hasn't announced that he's back.
He's when he's on our side, he's not, it doesn't always go well for us. And he's aware of that.
Yeah, he's aware.
You're talking about Whit Dog?
Yeah, he's aware of that.
No,
I don't think anything can derail where the Oilers are starting tomorrow. I just think it's another hell of a February. Anyways,
watch party at Greta tomorrow night as the Oilers look to tie the NHL record win streak.
Yeah. So you went to that event.
Went to that and then we went to met up with the crew for drinks and then we went to another after party that was an event of one of our sponsors that they were holding.
Okay, so listen, we do these things where I ask you questions and then you guys act coy. Like, drop fucking names of who you guys talked to. I want to know, who'd you meet? Who'd you talk to at
Nikita
these events?
Kucherov walked in on me taking a piss.
Nice. Nice.
And Igor Shesterkin and Kirill Kaprizov.
There we go. Here we go. Yeah. Now we're talking.
End? What's that?
How's that joke end?
The joke ends. Yeah, they drank half of a rum and coke and left.
Oh,
that was it. That was.
Oh, they whole actually game. Walked into a bar.
They actually walked.
Oh, into I a thought bar. That was a setup.
No,
for a bit.
No,
you actually saw Kucherov walk into a bar.
Watch Kucherov walk into a bar.
He walked into the bathroom. Like
and Shesterkin and who?
And Kaprizov,
of course. Yeah.
If we're gonna talk Kucherov. Skills competition.
Yeah.
Kind of didn't put his best foot forward, so which is fine.
He was banged up. He was out.
Well, I was going to say was you, that was what he looked like.
So I think what kind of happened was he did bad. He tried hard in his first event of the day and do good in it. And I think after that, when the crowd was booing him, he didn't do good in the first one. I think he was like, I'm going to play into this a little bit.
Yeah.
And then decided to really do whatever the hell he did for the rest of it.
Well, it's a good moment though. Like it was funny to watch it. He clearly gave up, but you know, two people who didn't give up and had bad moments in that NHL Star Skills competition. Matt Barzell, do you not know how to do a saucer pass? He was flicking. Oh. He's the only guy that couldn't roll it from fucking heel to toe and put it over this thing and sauce it in. It was painful. He was flicking it. Man. It wasn't nerves. He legit looks like he doesn't know the proper technique to do a go watch the tape.
I was there.
He was flicking it.
I know.
And he couldn't get in. Second, Leon.
Oh, Leon versus
Leon.
He's not a skills competition
but that's,
guy.
That's the thing. When you miss like four of the targets and now you're like, I'm not winning this. And then start to kind of grip and you start to not try.
You don't care.
Then it kind of just it goes from bad to worse, right?
Yeah. But Connor's like, I am winning this goddamn thing.
I'm really glad. Who went first in the target shooting? They started too early. They didn't blow the whistle, but Dougie Gilmore made him a pass.
It was Kucherov.
And he went 3-for-3.
Yeah.
And I was just like, if he doesn't go 3-for-3 again, I'm going to be like, feel so bad for him because he was lighting it up. That was some takeaways. But yeah, Leon, man. But other than that, I mean, the skills competition, the other takeaway I had from it was David Amber. They kept talking about how you know, okay, this is a new skills competition. It was helped designed by the players, especially Connor McDavid, you know, to get a better interaction, a better product on TV. NFL did the same thing. And at the very end, when Connor wins the thing, he just won his $1 million prize. And David Average first question was, you know, you just won your skills competition that you helped design. And Connor's just like, no, don't say, Jesus, don't say that. Like almost like the fix is in thing. And
on the topic of David Amber, earlier that day at this sponsorship X thing that we were a part of, it ended with Gary Bettman coming to do a panel talk with Marty Walsh, who's the head of the PA, facilitated by David Amber, to kind of just amplify the announcement around Olympics and the best on best tournament, yada, yada, yada. And he does a Freudian slip because like they're so buddy buddy on the panel. Right. And they're supposed to be like, they got
Amber and Bettman.
Bettman and Marty Walsh.
Oh, Walsh. Like, yeah.
Obviously they got to be collaborative, but you know, they're representing two completely different interests. Sure. But they're sounding so like buddy buddy on it. And then it slips out of Amber's mouth that they're colluding.
Oh,
and they're like, oh, sorry. That was like totally like felt bad. And he said like, oh, that's my wrong choice of words. And like Bettman kind of like gave him a poke after. Anyways, that was funny. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. No, so
same thing there.
It's same kind of thing, right? It reminded me of, if you guys remember The Office, when Jim is now a co-manager and he does the employee of the month. Uh-huh, yeah. And it's the very first one. And Dwight rigs it so that Jim wins it. And then like, there's a cake that shows up and like, he gets the money and the whole office just like, what, you did this whole event so that you could win it? Like, what? And that's exactly how I felt. Like Connor was sitting there going like, Jesus, like this is so bad.
Did you see?
He was far and away. I'm so glad that like his skill level was as dominant in everything he did. He didn't just win it. He crushed people. Oh,
that relay race where they had to do, he went out there and just,
he looked so much different. His tight turns.
He's got the Mamba mentality now. He's chasing 17.
So Cal McCarr goes first and you see him do the backwards pivots and you're like, defense, smooth as silk. Then you see Connor do it. And then you see all the other forwards go and you just can tell like how not as smooth they are at those backward pivot crossovers where they're like kind of having to set the puck and then do their crossover and then pick the puck back up as opposed to doing it like in a fluid motion. Right. It's just like that showed K.O. McCarr's dominance in just his skating ability front to back. But then the rest of it was just Connor looked like head and shoulders better than anybody else that did that.
Did you see the race footage on Instagram of the other players overlaid on top of him? That was so cool.
He makes up all his time on those corners.
On the course. Because you see,
stop. He accelerates and out of them.
Those guys,
watch F1 is a no-no.
Matt Barzell probably took two, maybe three crossovers around the net. Yeah. McDavid had about six or seven.
Doesn't stop.
He can control that, right? It's incredible to watch like that.
Glad he tried in this one. Now, like the next one, he'll probably just like, it's been set. He's gone. He's done it. Like, and I just love how he did it. And he loved how he did it in Toronto. And I loved his like little interview he did after where he's like talking about how Oilers fans travel well. And he's can't wait for Tuesday. Big game. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck yeah, Connor. Like you just fucking dominated.
Yeah. He dominated the
He's
week.
A fucking Oiler.
And that's why
he is such a good Edmonton Oiler for doing what he did there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like winning the skills come one, but then saying what he said and doubling like, fuck yeah, Connor.
I thought that he'd it up with a win in the 3-on-3 final, but Matthews was just really good.
Matthews had to win.
But it was good hockey. Like that's the thing. It was fun to watch. Yeah. I know so in the 3-on-3 game, a lot of times if something breaks down on like a rush, they'll go back out to the blue line and they'll get a new rush started. Yeah. But in this one, they kind of just like held the zone, tried to work it around, right? To no avail because these are NHL players, right? Like the three defenders are going to be really good at it. So that was what a little bit different was in that. But I thought the on-ice product between the skills competition and the NHL All-Star game was head and shoulders better than stuff I had seen in the past.
Yeah, big improvement.
Yeah. And the goalies,
the city was fucked. Yeah.
I gotta say the goalies were like, obviously they weren't as much a part of the actual skills competition as they normally are. So they came out for that relay, the 5-7 puck, whatever they ended up doing. But like your first five pucks are all worth 1 point. If you come out to the blue line, those ones are worth two. they were dominant in that. Yeah. And it almost seemed like the players didn't want to do any of like the always hockey type of like shit that they, you know, they could do, which would have been a lot more fun. But like, was it that they just didn't want to show them up?
No. You're clocked, man. You don't have time to be putting the puck up on your stick and doing whatever.
It's a volume game. That must have been so exhausting for the goalies.
Yeah.
Because in that minute, they probably did 20 breakaways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that I was surprised so
the strategy because there was the five pucks worth one. I was waiting for a player to go up there and just
rifle all five
and go right to the two pointers and then just start going to that. That would have made way
not
more
a bad
sense
strategy.
That'll be next year. Yeah. Like it'll evolve. People will get smart and they'll have to reform. Although, it.
We probably won't get another All-Star game until 2027.
3 years.
Yeah. So this is like
what? Why?
Other than the Nations Cup, man.
Four Nations Cup next year. Four Nations face
Olympics.
Off. Olympics.
Yeah, that's fine.
An All Star.
Explain to me Four Nations Cup.
So they want to do best on best hockey,
but they only want to include four countries.
Because
did you roll your eyes because you don't want best on best hockey?
No, I do. I do.
Oh, okay. I think that tournament is pointless.
Really? But it's so.
Hold on. We'll explain it.
Okay, so it's Canada, USA, Sweden, and Finland. They're going to play in a tournament between Boston and Montreal, apparently, according to Frank. And it's going to be you play every team once and then the two best teams in the round robin meet in the final. And they want best on best hockey, but they're trying to put this thing together in a year. So it's tough to make it a big, big tournament because logistically that's hard. You can't include Russia right now. And Sweden and Finland said the federations, if you include Russia, we're out. So you had to draw a line there. And then I guess it was just kind of like, since it's going to be NHL kind of sanctioned, all the players who play in it have to be under NHL contract. So like if you include Czech,
you don't have enough.
Can you do it? Can't include Germany.
They should have done a fifth team. They should have done a European team.
Yes, I agree.
And then still you can do the no Russia thing.
A catch-all.
Then that way you can get the Kopitars of the world.
Pasternak's and Dreisaitl's, yeah. But that's the tournament. You don't like it though.
No, I think it's pointless.
Right, but I think it's getting us back to a Canada Cup type of a tournament every year, which
not.
Was something that, but
and it's mid-season. It's like weird.
Like
it's
a, is that better than an all-star game for the game?
If Connor McDavid gets hurt in a pointless tournament in a playoff stretch, I'm going to be pissed.
But the NHL got their money.
I agree.
Got their money.
I agree with that. But the NBA had a similar thing this season where
but those games count as the regular season though, don't they?
Right. In-season, it was totally different. Yes, it was in season. It was totally different structure, but everybody that said this thing is pointless, changing the floors is dumb, guys aren't going to care, they were proved wrong. Mm-hmm. They did care. It was cool.
Oh, I think the four countries will care. And I bet you the hockey will be good.
Yeah, the injuries, and of
injuries
course.
Still, like, I'm excited for the Olympics and injuries can happen. But like, I can, like,
there was at least it's the Olympics.
There was one Rush it's Connor had
tournament
in the 3-on-3.
For no point at all.
Where he went really hard to the net. And I was like, if he blows a tire right now, like, injuries are.
I think what they should have done. Frank kind of had a similar idea, but mine was the best part of this is the rivalry of Canada, USA, Finland, Sweden, and promoting that. I would have liked instead of a round robin tournament, a best of three between Canada and Finland, Canada, USA, and a best of three between Sweden and Finland, and then the winners meet in a final.
Where are the big hockey countries? Where's Northern Ireland? Where's Burkina Faso? Where's Lagos? We're just gonna pretend it doesn't exist. Bullshit. Tony Hand is spinning in his grave.
He's not dead.
Burkina Faso.
Career is.
Yeah, 30 years long.
Yeah, they have half of an arena.
But yes, other than the Four Nations Cup, obviously the big news is that the NHL players are going back to the Olympics, which was the best thing to come out of All-Star Weekend.
That is so good.
It is so amazingly good. And immediately you had TSN putting out like potential, you know, Canadian teams. And it's still not for 2 years. And
I am super jacked about it. Team.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Freeman had Nuge on his
26.
Team.
26.
I'd forgot they'd shut it down in Beijing.
I don't, but
such a weird
time. No Darnell Nurse on anybody's team.
Stuart
Skinner's on the team. We're a little light at goaltending. I don't mind telling you because
especially when every other country like has one or two superstars or three superstars and Canada has zero superstars.
They're developing.
2026 Skinner may have a Vezina or two under his belt. We don't know.
Jack Campbell's international game is.
I got a question too that I haven't looked into, but Aiden Ross obviously came out of nowhere in the
Who?
Is his name Aiden Hill? Aiden Hill.
Isn't Aiden Ross the guy 21 Aiden Savage Ross burned is the with dude from,
yeah, shit. That's the streamer guy. Well, he's all over my feed right now because he's the Playboy Cardi was going to do an hour and only show up for 10 minutes. Get out of my
and
face.
And 21 Savage burned him in a game of cards with marked cards.
Yeah, that, but that was, yes. And yeah, but they were literally gambling on his stream with 21 Savage. Yeah. And the chat was like, dude, he's cheating. Those cards are marked. But Aiden Ross wasn't really keeping up with it. So when Playboy or when 21 Savage like won all this money, like $500,000 yeah. and left. I know. I don't believe this. But then Aiden Ross starts looking at the cards on the screen and they're literally scratched on the top.
And 21 comes over. He's looking too. He's like, huh?
And what does it have to do with the Olympics?
So Aiden, no, it doesn't. Aiden Hill. I got a question about this guy because he came out of nowhere in the Stanley Cup finals, right?
In the second round.
In the second round of playoffs. The Oilers. In the Stanley Cup finals being the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
Normally, when a guy's this good, this quick, you know him from like World Juniors or something, but like where has this person been?
Airdrie, Alberta.
Great. Where's he been? Why hasn't he been on like World Junior teams? Like,
he's 27.
He's up.
So exactly. So this is an interesting story. He's 27. Where was this person? Where did he come from? And why now is he maybe the top Canadian goaltender out there?
He bounced around a bit. San Jose, Phoenix.
Yeah. Then, just never got a shot is kind of what I'm getting, yeah, what I'm hearing.
If they're in, and he's in that, if there's going to be, well, there will be at some point another goalie fight. He is a strong candidate.
He's big, isn't he?
And he's feisty.
Yeah.
Maybe him and Stu will go.
Who did he have like go by his net that he tripped and they went to the boards and they all fucked up?
I don't know.
These hockey guys.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Fuck, they know.
This isn't about Aiden Ross. I'm tuning out of this podcast. Saber or something.
Yeah, you guys don't know nothing about no Aiden Hill. It's a hockey podcast.
I will say Team USA also looks very frightening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be frightening, but they're also American.
That goaltending, Tkachuk brothers, Hughes brothers.
Boom. That's cool.
So that's the Hughes can do some damage in international ice. Oh, it won't be. Oh, yeah. No, it'll be international ice.
Nope. They're saying it's being built in an NHL size, the rink for the Olympics.
So Bag Milk, you got winners and losers coming out of the All-Star break.
Winner, Buble, easy.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
The most entertaining thing. Although in the mailbag, it was interesting. Gregor was like, this is an event for kids. And you have a guy saying he's high on Zoomers the whole time is probably not the best look.
But he didn't do it at the event. It would be my counterpoint to Gregor. He did it in the press conference.
Hey, I'm with you. I thought it was the most interesting thing in an NHL press conference ever.
100%.
He was easy winner. The draft itself, the player draft sucked. The last four players being picked via cards, no loser or last pick, annoying. I thought that the skills competition was better. Probably the best it's been in a while. I thought the game itself was probably the best it's been in a while. They're never going to give 100%, but ultimately they gave 50.
Yep.
Probably. Maybe even north than 50, maybe 60.
The goalies were great. So
the tempo level from the first half to the second half of the final game between Team McDavid and it was way quicker.
Yeah.
That was cool to me. Like
they wanted to win.
And then when they meet in the final, I always forget the last game of the All-Star game is always good because in the first game, there's a little bit of those players that's like, if we lose, we get to pack up early, get on the PJ a little quicker. Like, let's go. I feel like once you win that first game, you get to the second game and it's like, Well, we got to play it anyways.
We're here doing this anyways. We might as well win it.
Well, yeah. You know McDavid wants to win it so Matthews can't. And Matthew wants to win it because Biebs is his boy.
Yeah.
Well, after Matthews scored that one goal, Connor came out and looked like he was a man on a mission. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know Tate McRae wants to teach Job Bluth a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So the beef between those two are...
Who?
Job. Will Arnett. That's his that's his character from Arrested Development.
Job Bluth?
Yes, I do know that.
You ever watch that?
There's money in the banana stand.
When I see him, like there's some people whose roles I think just embody who they are in my mind. I just see Job Bluth at the All-Star game. Like he's about to do magic at any moment. I can't. It's like Kramer being at the All-Star game.
I would say that character is on the Mount Rushmore of TV characters, along with like Kramer from Seinfeld. Yeah. Heisenberg, obviously, from Breaking Bad, Walter White. We got Michael Scott is the biggest head on Mount Rushmore. Joe Bluth. Round it out with your top five.
Do you watch Arrested Development?
Homer Simpson?
And I love Arrested Development.
So I'm funny, just, man.
Job.
I think you got to do is like, because Job wasn't the star, I think.
Oh, he became it.
But like, as secondary characters go, then you would go like Job, Dwight.
Yeah. Okay.
Kramer.
Kramer.
Because he's not Seinfeld. Yeah, yeah.
My favorite Arrested Development moments are basically all Tobias moments, though.
Oh, the best. Oh. He's when he joins the Blue Man Group.
Tobias DK. Oh.
And there's that one clip where him and Lindsay are talking about marriage counseling, and he goes, people are just delusional to think it'll work, but it might work for us.
And he could have, man, that he is.
Yeah, that's
that good. Is a really, that's really a good, good call.
He goes, when he thinks he's going to the method acting class, but it's a methadone clinic.
He is fucking amazing. That show was so well written.
I know, man. It never got, well, it got its props, but not the full props.
Like the fact that they had the wherewithal just to say, like, they lost their private jet and the only thing they could keep was the stair truck. And so
they had all their cars impounded. The
only vehicle they owned
keep was the stair
truck. To a private jet.
This ties into other current event stuff. RIP Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
But Creed is so good in that show too. And his cameo when he's the acting coach and Tobias gives him like $1,100 and Carl Weathers just keeps being like, you want acting advice? This one time when I was doing like this movie, I saved my per diem. I didn't spend my per diem once. What I would do is go to the back of the restaurant, get a chicken bone. Now you got yourself a stew.
Oh, good old. Yeah. Somebody
said realize he was a BC Lion.
Yeah. Did you know he was Apollo Creed, right?
I knew he was Apollo Creed.
And you also knew that he
played the NFL.
Chubbs. He was Chubbs from Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore.
I saw some like Hudson's Bay ads from his time with BC Lions online where he's like wearing a suit and shit. Like he was getting paid.
Oh, so good.
God, he's jacked.
Awesome as Apollo Creed. Mm-hmm. On your Mount Rushmore of boxing people, Chomers?
Boxing people? Apollo Creed?
Of boxing characters in movies?
Oh, he's up there.
Lang.
He's up there. Pretty much they're all Rocky characters. Yeah. And Drago.
He's got to be number one, right? That's a crazy
Hulk fight. Hogan.
He, as a kid, legitimately scared me. And Drago? I thought that all Russians were like the toughest people in the world because of that guy.
If he dies, he dies.
That was like his only line in the whole movie.
That's all you need.
And that's when Bridget.
I break you.
Moynihan came out.
No, not Moynihan.
No. Flav. What's her name?
Bridget.
Wilson. No.
Wilson.
No. Was it Wilson?
I think it might be right. Bridget Wilson. I don't know.
Was it Wilson?
That's when she.
I don't remember, but yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
Remember with Flavor of Love? Like, God, that was a terrible show.
No, but you know where they met? Was Big Celebrity Big Brother. Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was a spinoff.
Flavor.
Well, to wrap up.
Sorry. Flava Flav plays like 9 instruments. Did you know this?
I did not know if he was that musically inclined.
Gifted, yeah.
Dude, like I saw him playing the piano. He's like, I won't say he's like classically good, but like he can full on play. He's a prodigy. He just danced with the clock around his neck most of his career.
And
crazy to
and
see
yelled Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
Flavor.
Because they're like, oh, would you like me to play concert level piano? No. Can you yell Flavor Flav with a clock and wear a Viking helmet? That's what people like. All right.
Can I tell you all the famous people I saw in the club?
This is what I want to know. This is what we're talking about.
So go to this NHL event where Nelly Furtado played. Sneaky amount of bangers.
And you thought that it was Nelly.
Sneaky amount of
bangers? Thought it was.
Yeah, and I was shocked that you were just like.
Well, because when she was big, I would have been like.
Doesn't matter.
You know.
You still heard her shit, man.
I know, but I just.
She made some good music.
I forgot. Also, apparently she's dating PK Subban.
What?
No.
Oh,
that was the rumor.
Wow.
She came back as a Drake, hey? She never wanted to be seen from or heard from again. And Drake was doing some sort of OVO fest or something and like went hard to get Nelly Furtado to come out and like basically talked her out of retirement. So amazing. The fact that she's there, good for her.
Yeah. She's hosting the Junos. Anyways, yes.
So I thought I was going to see Nelly, not Nelly Furtado, which was funny.
That's false advertising. Go on.
Yeah. So he did that. Anyways, I'm going to this NHL after party, standing in line to get into this club. Max Kerman from the Arkells right behind me in
your
line.
Your boy.
My guy. I did.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Max. And he kind of looked at me. I was like, I interviewed you once on Oilers Nation. He's like, you did. What was your name again? I'm like, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, Joe fan.
He didn't talk you after?
No, we just chatted for a bit in line and then went in. Go inside, standing upstairs in this club. Look, Chris Pronger's there. Ryan Reeves is there. A couple other like behind the scenes NHL people were there. The guy who owns the Score was there.
What's the kid name? Or the dad?
The dad, the older one.
Oh, John Levy.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-il.
Nope.
He can't hurt us. We're in Edmonton.
Oh, he got fuck you money now though.
Yeah.
The Score?
Oh yeah.
Would they sell to Penn again?
Penn. Yeah. Morgan Riley and Tessa Virtue were there.
Mm.
So Penn I was wearing this hoodie.
And I felt very self-conscious about it because almost everyone else in there, I thought I was just going
dressed
to,
up.
Yeah.
I thought you wore a hoodie to an NHL VIP event.
I thought I was,
I would,
I thought I was just going to the Nelly Furtado concert and that was chill.
You thought you were going to the Nelly concert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just wore this hoodie.
Where the St. Lunatics at?
You wore apple bottom jeans and yeah, Air Force were, Ones.
He thought he was legit. I love it how you put on the group. I thought we were going to see the rapper Nelly. Nope.
So I'm in this club. Everyone's wearing suits. There's like whatever, a bunch of rich people around me, and I'm wearing a Sherwood hockey.
Good man. At the All-Star game, hold your ground. You're looking sharp.
So wait a minute.
You wore that 2 nights ago?
I washed it when I got home.
Wow, that's efficient.
I know. I really wanted to wear it again. It's my new favorite.
It's a cool shirt.
So I'm standing there kind of self-conscious talking with my pal Yoakum from Betway.
Yes.
And he goes, buddy, when I was like younger and we'd go to clubs and we had connections to get in, he goes, we would intentionally wear track suits. Because then people would look at us and go, how are they so important that they could get in here wearing tracksuits? So he was like, this is a great move by you.
You're playing chestnut checkers. Yeah.
So he told me that. And then Morgan Riley showed up wearing an old, like beaten down Blue Jays hat and an old hoodie. And Yoakum was like, ah, see, I told you.
Yeah.
He was like most important guy in the club wearing a hoodie. So that was funny. Morgan Riley was there. Pronger, Ryan Reeves, a guy who was in his mid-70s, wearing an all-white and gold tuxedo.
Of course.
Nice. With a handful of 20-some-year-old women gold around member. Him. Yeah, I had no idea who he was, but I just couldn't take my eyes off him the whole night. It was great. Huffing a vape, too. I was like, this guy runs the place, doesn't he?
Rosie got me on the vape. On the vape.
That thing was delicious.
The cherry vape.
What?
Or the grape vape.
Just clouds of watermelon everywhere.
So I ended up being in this club until like
I know I regret it
until but like 3 a.m.
Tyler had zins, but he kept keeping his hotel room the whole fucking time and never in social settings.
You didn't say that once because I was shaking down boss man for his zins.
Oh shit. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had tins. They're still in my backpack now.
That's the common excuse.
So we're standing there. It's 3 a.m. Music's still playing. Club's getting a little bit quieter. And there's this guy and his two buddies and they're dancing. And the one guy just dips his head under the bar, like the physical bar, and just projectile vomits.
What?
So much right onto the floor and dips his head back up and just gets right back.
Oh, yeah. Fucking rally. That guy's a pro.
And then so I am like me to Jay away from him when he does it. So I'm like, this is disgusting. I need to move, but it's still kind of packed. I can't really move. Point to the people I'm with. I'm like, that guy just yacked. Like, we got to go. He's now dancing and just in his own vomit, like stirring it around.
Oh, yeah, I got to keep
his
it going.
Buddies come over and don't notice. So now they're
fall.
No, they're damn still it. Just like dancing in his vomit. So everyone is dancing in this guy's vomit.
Yeah.
And then servers start going by and they don't notice.
If there was a sub theme to the All-Star weekend, is that a lot of people were puking. How much fucking street vomit did we have to navigate?
Every
fucking block.
Seriously?
Street vomit. People be partying. It was fucking wild. Anyways, carry on.
That was the whole thing. And then it started to smell. And that's when I was like, it almost like sobered me up where I'm smelling vomit. And I was like, it's 3 a.m. I got to be up in 5 hours. I got to go. And that's when I eventually pulled the plug on the night is when I watched a man dance in his own vomit.
Toronto.
But you got shawarma that night.
Got shawarma that night.
They went past the belly busters. I got too excited.
Yeah. I don't regret our choice.
I don't regret it.
Any notables at the food place? I would love to see like an NHL player like at 3 a.m. just eating a doner or a shawarma.
Shout out Sheldon Surrey.
Oh. We're
saying an Edmonton doner is better than poutine in Montreal.
Well, Lord's work.
Mm-hmm. Once an Oiler.
Did you say that Morgan Riley is dating Tessa Virtue?
I think they're secret. I think they're married.
They secretly got married. Yeah.
Can we go them back to PK Subban and Nelly Furtado?
Yeah, we gotta.
I believe that.
Search that. I would too.
I think he just posted something about being on stage with Nelly Furtado.
PK's he was on game, stage man. At the concert.
PK's got game.
PK Subban. Are they dating? I don't know. Maybe not.
See, this is why.
Do you guys see Gretz anywhere?
When Drake calls you, Jay, out of retirement and you're a songstress,
you do it.
Take the call. Speaking, you know who else was seen this weekend who looked fantastic with Celine Dion's at the Grammys?
Oh, awesome.
She was there big. They're like, we have a huge reveal. You won't even believe it. Because remember, she's very ill. She was there. She looked fantastic.
Yep. Awesome.
Love Celine Dion, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about the Grammys last night, best duet. In the last 10 years.
Oh, I need to watch it. Man. I need to watch it. It was good.
Tracy Chapman and Luke Combs doing Fast Car. And she is amazing.
I got to watch it.
She's incredible.
I watched it again this morning. It was fantastic.
Anybody on the stage with Luke Combs probably loses the voice battle. But she doesn't. She fucking.
She's the voice.
She is so
their
good.
Their interplay was good. The back and forth.
She doesn't
great.
Even look like she's trying. I just fucking loved it. I thought I just, you get mesmerized by certain things, like, right?
She hasn't performed in a while, right?
She's a recluse. She's
no, like, she didn't yeah. even like that was the whole thing was, I said, I'm like, I wonder what they had to she lives say to her compound. To get her in here. Cause she didn't want to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She lives in a compound with like family members and like musicians. And
I maybe finally, cause that song's been covered a lot of times.
Yes.
Maybe finally someone did it justice well and she's like,
so
well, the Grammys too. Like yeah. It's a pretty big,
I'm on record on this podcast of saying like, if you're not going to do a song better than the original, don't fucking do it. Especially not a classic like Fast Car. And
people
look like,
to this podcast for that sort of rule.
I love Luke Combs, but I was against the fact that he did it.
He did a good job of it.
No, he did. But he explains it before the duet. They say to him and he's like, listen, I didn't care. It's would have been my favorite song since I was a kid. He's like, I didn't care what anybody thought. It was the only song I wanted to redo and I did it for me. And I really don't. And I was like, yeah, no, I respect that.
Have you ever heard a redo of a song, Traumers, and been shocked to find out it was actually an original song before?
Yes. I have. Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton.
Oh.
Is a remake of an old George Jones song, aptly named Tennessee Whiskey.
Oh, I should hope so.
Hurt. That's a good song.
Yeah. And it's completely different. Hurt, but I think Johnny Cash redoing Johnny Hurt Cash in that different Nails way. Song? Yeah. Is probably the greatest of the redos.
I think so. Good.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that was a Nine Inch Nails song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, not a bad one, just not my not type of music, but like Johnny Cash is just powerful. It's such an amazing song.
Killing Me Softly.
You know, the story behind Johnny Cash was that he like Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails was trying to find all these people to redo certain songs. And he went to Johnny Cash and Johnny Cash was like, not famous, like just in.
He pulled the bait and switch.
Kind of a recluse.
Johnny Cash had a plan.
Yeah.
You're not going to cover me. I'm going to cover you.
So yeah, Johnny Cash.
They did an album together, didn't they, after?
I don't think so.
Johnny Cash back with Trent Reznor producing it?
No, but it was just that song. It was just that song. And Johnny Cash didn't want to do it at first. And he was kind of like, you know, I really think this is perfect for you. And they did it. And it basically gave Johnny Cash like one last like song for all time before he passed away. He was a legend, but it had faded. I mean, not a lot of people were talking about Johnny Cash before that song. I just thought it was, yeah, pretty interesting.
Tell the Johnny Cash Museum in Nashville, Tennessee that.
I don't
tell him.
I don't want to
call him right now.
I insist.
There was a dark period of Johnny Cash's career. Admit it.
I'll bet you anything, ticket sales went up a lot after he did Hurt.
When you've been around as long as Johnny Cash,
you are correct.
You have like decades that go shitty. Then you come back like Ozzy. Ozzy had like 15 years of nothing. Then he comes back. That guy was in the game for like 50 years. It's crazy.
All right. We do got to step aside for a quick break. But first, this episode is brought to you by DoorDash. For a limited time, our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code NATION25. Dash that for the win. Maybe you want to take advantage of the Double Dash feature. Mix a couple of restaurants with no extra delivery fees. When you add it to the same order, it is quite the feature. You and your significant other, you and some buddies sitting around watching the game, and someone wants burritos, someone wants pizza. You can get them both now with the Double Dash feature. All right, we'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, back on the Real Life Podcast. Tomorrow, the Oilers will go for their record-tying 17th straight victory. Seems relatively substantial. Seems interesting that we didn't talk about it for the first 40-ish minutes of our hockey podcast.
This is what we're really good at.
What didn't we talk about? Real
stuff.
The Oilers going for an NHL record winning streak tomorrow to tie an NHL record.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've learned, Chalmers, during this winning streak? People get way more mad about shit than they get commensurately happy about good shit. So when we were losing games earlier in the season and we had to fire Coach Woody, rest in power, people were way more into it because it was bad news than when you win 16 games in a row. Watching Oilers Twitter, people legitimately, we won 16 games. Like, yeah, but who have they been beating? Like, there isn't an equally like jubilant crowd right now of Oilers fans.
What do you think that is?
People like bad news. That's why is it the media's fault that everything's bad news? Or is that what people actually want to read?
When I build a house and I ask the people, how's the house? They don't tell me about the 150 great things about the house. They tell me, you know what? Maybe we should have done this in this room. I think people are just attracted to negativity.
I think so.
You know what? The backsplash tile that I chose isn't the best. I think we should have done something different. And I go, yeah.
Wouldn't you think Oilers fans would be slightly more jubilant having won 16 games in a row?
You think they're not right now?
I don't get that. I mean,
it's not as loud online. I mean, I don't see it. Is there a part?
What? Like, even after before All-Star break?
I kind of worry about jinxing it, talking about it too much.
Like, in between games and shit, you don't see, like.
Even if it ends at 16, like, hell of a fucking run.
Bag Milk, you superstitious about it in a way where you're a little superstitious to talk about it?
Yeah, what kind of underwear are you wearing tomorrow? Are you wearing anything to try to manifest?
None at all. Zero.
I'm going to bet.
He's been Winnie the Pooh in it every game day since the streak started.
That's right. Dick's out for Harambe.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Harambe.
What does he have to do with this?
Hey.
He has to do with a lot of things.
Everything changed since that day.
That's true. I changed.
That's when we got knocked off our axis of goodness, I think.
Someone should do some deep dive research on that.
Remember back in the day when all you had to worry about was Harambe? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Simpler time.
I know. Now there's a lot going on. There's a lot fucking going on.
Not a lot of Harambe.
But see, I mean, like, what? We just brought it up and nobody is clamoring to talk about it.
I want to talk about it, but I don't want to fix it.
That's, I mean, me like, kind of too, but what is,
there is a reality also.
How many times can we say?
For a few reasons, okay?
Yeah.
If they stay undefeated by the time we go to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Liam will rock a mullet to the mullet arena.
Okay. Shave that it is in. Important.
That's a big fucking deal. So that's got me excited. So like, keep it going. Also, I want us to catch and surpass the Golden Knights in the standings. So our game 17 is a 4-point game. That's very important.
You know what I worry about, Chalmers? In those top five winningest teams of all time, none won cups on those streaks.
In that year?
I didn't know that.
Nobody won a cup. Columbus?
This is just we call this the progression to the mean. We're just getting back to where the grand reset. Yeah. It's the hockey gods realigning the season that should have been for the Oilers. Something was fucking with it. Now there's some intervention and I don't know what they have. Is it 18 games? Is it, well, we know it's 16 games. How far do we go? It's like deal or no deal. Do we try to open the next case?
And an amazing break. Like to have 16 games in a row and then you get this huge break. Could you go on an 8-game heater now?
Oh, because I know, it's like resets. Are we like starting scratch? Which Connor's got the Mamba mentality right now. Like the fact that he is still like in the zone focused on game 17 when it's just a chill weekend in Toronto for the All-Star game. Like, he fucking wants.
They're
it.
On another level this
he
year. And that is not
wants it.
There's just not something we were
they
saying.
They want it.
What do we think of Nobby going back to different lines again, though?
What are the lines again?
So the lines are
RNH Hyman McDavid.
Yeah, RNH Hyman McDavid. Yeah, but it's just, remember he teamed up. We went nuclear there for.
But he did just. But it was probably just to like. But you gotta like. I think he. I think you have to tweak it a little bit here and there to maybe keep it going.
And I think you do
too. Shelf life to everything.
Say them all.
So RNH Hyman McDavid.
Documented powerhouse.
Drysdale centering McLeod and Fogel again. Holloway centering Perry and Brown.
Love it. Speed.
What?
Expertise. I think that's great. Brown's
and,
coming. He's
and
coming.
And then Ryan with Janmark and Gagne. No Evander Kane at practice.
Yeah, where is
so, he? So, okay. Illness. I just.
Vegas?
I'm just going to say this.
Super Bowl?
No, he was in France.
What?
I swear he was in Europe. I swear I saw him like taking a photo.
What is going on?
Flag.
What is going on with him?
So I'm like, so illness or like
Kane was definitely in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extremely.
He went there for this break.
I guess. Cause I also saw
10 days is a long time.
That's like, fine. Yeah. Go to Europe.
Of, like, unless you said I saw a like French consulate somewhere.
Go to Europe. Yeah. But why are you not at practice?
But literally within the last 48 hours, I saw a post him in France and then
a French consulate
or French consulate. But probably a building in France.
Could have been Paris Hotel.
Could be St. Pierre and Miquelon. That's an island off the coast of Nova Scotia.
That's true.
He could have been in St. Pierre and Miquelon.
Yep.
It is not on the list of vacation spots you'd expect him to go. Maybe he didn't know where he was going.
I always want to go there just because it's neat.
Exactly. It's the closest point in Europe.
Yeah. But
why is he not in practice?
If you've seen Peaky Blinders, in the last season, it's a very important spot.
Hold on, what? St. Pierre Miquelon gets pulled into Peaky Blinders?
Yes.
Are they leaving booze there?
Yes. It's like their kind of little hub for the States.
That's cool.
Yeah. And some shit goes down there. But yeah, so I'm like, I think like he's jet lagged. He's jet lagged because he's coming back from Europe, like
into a far time zone.
And
as well.
Probably just time. He should have maybe come a day sooner. I guarantee you it's something like travel related.
Peaky Blinders movie coming, hey?
What?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how.
What's his nuts? Like, went and met with him, the guy from Oppenheimer.
Cillian.
Went and met with the producer. Movie on inbound. Money will make it happen.
I didn't.
They made a My Girl too, and he died the first one.
I didn't finish it, Peaky Blinders.
You should.
I'm like a season left.
Yeah, me too.
It's an interesting season because there's a lot of shit that goes on.
I mean, there's like, a lot of shit that goes on.
You know what I've learned about shows?
It ends kind of. Have you seen it, Bag Milk?
I haven't started. It's been on my phone
ends
forever.
Interesting. So I guess I could see how there's a movie.
Here's what I've learned about shows, Chalmers. I used to watch Walking Dead. And then you get to one season where this guy gets beamed with a bat. And it ruined the show. And I kept trying to go back to it after that point, and I couldn't get into it. If a show runs its course and then you don't seemingly want to go back and watch it, there's a reason.
When he got into politics is when I started to go.
Peaky Blinders?
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried to get legit.
That's what Pablo Escobar did.
I just like fighting and knife fights and stuff, though.
I was like, okay, this is too many layers now.
I like gangster
but
stuff.
It was like, but that
be a gangster.
The politician phase was the most stressful because it introduced that Nazi.
Yeah.
That stress.
I may have missed two seasons. I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, well, okay. But anyways, it introduced like political strife.
Yes.
And then that season ends on a fucking absolute banger.
Yeah. I'm that one episode left.
Oh,
I just can't get to it.
You can't, wow, dude. Know. Well, rewatch that season of at least the last two episodes leading up to it. Fuck, does it end? It ends like it fucking goes down. It's wild. Shout out. Tom Hardy. Yeah.
Oh, I love Tom Hardy.
I'm like, didn't Tom Hardy do the fucking affliction clothing or whatever? But no, it's Ed Harvey.
Ed Hardy. Shout out to Ed Hardy.
Yeah.
And Christian Odege.
Odeger. Anyways, Tom Hardy, phenomenal character in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Todd Harvey would have been the former Oiler.
That would be an amazing twist.
Great show.
Todd Harvey coming in saying, after I lost the cup in 06, I shat on Edmonton and left.
Harvey the Hound, Flames mascot.
Yeah. Only representative at the All-Star game. Oh, no. All comes back.
Harvey's the worst fast food restaurant.
How dare you? Jesus Christ. How dare you?
People pay us money.
Cash brands?
No, they don't.
Maybe one day.
Now they won't.
Yeah, now we're fucked.
When was the last time you had a Harvey's burger?
For money?
Like a month ago.
No, you didn't.
Absolutely did. The one
you
on the last
your
end?
Own, bro.
Yeah.
I know. I used to go there all the time when I was a kid.
I actually think the burger itself is good.
It's Carbro, the way you like it.
Harvey's.
Do they have any with a drive-through? Because all the restaurants I used to know used to have just go inside.
Oh my God.
Yeah, West End.
You got to go reset your perception.
The one on 109, you got to go in.
I had my first ever McRib the other day and it was awful.
I heard they're bad.
I don't get why people would follow it around anywhere.
So I really feel like I need to try it still.
Yeah,
you still got to try it. You gotta always got to try it.
They're not. They don't look good. They're fake. They just look disgusting. They look good.
It's like when KFC comes up with a double down when the meat or the bun is
meat.
Too
chickens.
Oh, KFC has a new.
It's actually really good, but you need to drink.
I used to like those bowls.
Yeah, you can't double down every day when it comes up.
I love the chicken bowl. That was my go-to thing at KFC. Also, I'm very intrigued. They have a new mac and cheese chicken wrap that also looks very good.
At where? KFC?
KFC. Fast food game. It's, you know.
The McRib's disgusting.
Okay. Maybe I'll sit this one.
If I'm eating McDonald's, I want literally anything else.
Double cheeseburger like a Mac.
Yeah, I had that with you for the first time and it was lovely.
That is the way.
Anything like a Mac is probably good.
Yeah.
Diet Coke like a Mac.
All right. So we had a great time in Toronto and we're going to run it back and have a great time in Arizona.
Shout out to you guys. Everyone. That was a pretty interesting. I know you're about to go through a spiel about us going to Arizona. Thank you. Brought to you by Blue Cross. Thank you very much. Alberta Blue Cross.
ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more info. Only one thing better than sharing memories. It's making new ones, which is what we're going to do.
And they insure that we do.
Yeah, they insure you. Okay. Keep going.
Liam can go mullet in the mullet.
Yeah.
Oilers, keep rolling, please.
So close.
What was I talking about?
We don't know. You did something about the weekend.
Shout out to all the people.
Oh, shout out. Jeez, that was just on the whole, and this is now just business Jay talking. Like, that was a pretty crazy 2 days. We came, we planted our content flag attached to a major sports media conference and put on an impressive show for two solid days.
We planted our content seed, and now we will wait to see a beautiful
plant. I sat there on a panel.
You got someone content.
Yeah,
pregnant,
what was that
you're
about?
Gonna come back in 9 months and see what the baby looks like.
Yeah.
Who were the other three people on that panel? Is
Sportsnet Rogers was like the big sponsor of this event. And I'm sitting on a panel just evangelizing the nation.
Disrupting
network.
Rogers.
Talking about how we're disrupting. Oh, it was great. It was great.
Was it?
They let a little tiny wolf in the hen house. Little Fox.
Netflix presented at the Fox. Blockbuster conference?
Yes. Netflix. It was great.
Blockbuster Con?
It was great.
All right. Keep it 100?
That's Thursday.
Today's
Monday.
Geez. Oh,
is it?
Oh,
how could I
forget? Which month?
Every 8th?
I've done one every Thursday I've been here for the past since I said I was going to.
Every Thursday you've what?
Been here.
Been here.
Last Thursday.
You made one up on the fly.
I did. No. Yeah.
Last Thursday, we didn't do a show.
We didn't even do a show. I did one on Monday of last week in lieu of Thursday.
Okay. We are in lieu of a Thursday right now.
That would have been my confusion.
God knows if you'll be here this Thursday.
Why not?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'll be there.
Will you keep
I'll
it 100?
Be here.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, if you're looking for a spot to watch the game tomorrow as the boys go for that win number 17, we're going to be out at Greta. Having a little watch party, pre and post game show live from the bar, intermission entertainment, going to be a really good time. Greta, fantastic pre and post spot, but as I always say, not just pre and post. The TV setup is really, really good there. You can have any seat in the bar and you have an angle on the game. It's legit. So come watch with us tomorrow, 8 o'clock, Edmonton, Vegas. Apparently Edmonton fans have totally taken over the strip as well. Baseball writer I follow was like, I'm in Vegas to be on Radio Row. He's like, there are more Oilers jerseys here than there are Chiefs or 49ers jerseys.
Let's go. It's
what do
you
we
know what? If had we known that we were going to be on a run and game 17 was going to happen, we probably would have done a nation vacation around it. But I just don't like the idea of it being a Tuesday.
So hold on. You couldn't predict a 17 game winning streak in advance?
No. I asked Tyler and he said there would be no winning streak.
I said the Connor McDavid era is over. So.
And then you went and made me stare out the window.
Has any other NHL team ever gone with no losses in a whole month?
Well, they have to have because there's teams that have had 16 before.
But like, yeah.
But could it have, what if it was over like
remember,
middle
started,
of a month
started,
to a middle of a month?
But ours started mid-December.
No,
late December.
But we did
but
do
we
a perfect
did
month.
Not lose a game in January. So what I'm saying is like,
oh, but you, there's other teams that have done 15, 16 games, which
right.
probably takes a month to do it. Because ours started in late December.
I've got the answer for you, Chalmers. It was the third perfect month in NHL history.
There you go.
Nice.
One was the Montreal Wanderers in 1873, and they
the
won
Ottawa
two
Maroons.
Games. Yeah.
They're playing themselves.
Two games in August. Yeah. They played themselves because there was war on.
I like teams. Wasn't there a team back in the day called the Millionaires? Isn't that just
Seattle.
The Seattle Vancouver. Millionaire or Vancouver Millionaires?
Seattle Millionaires.
Metropolitans.
Is anybody else?
Kids.
He seems pretty convinced. The Survivors?
Are we jacked up about Super Bowl week?
No.
Not yet.
What the?
priorities tomorrow. Priority. Tomorrow's my Super Bowl.
And then a Friday night game against Anaheim.
Nah. Super Bowl week, baby. Radio Row is popping. Uh-huh. I can't wait to listen. Radio Row is where all the radio shows have basically just tables all the way down them, and guys start at the beginning and they sit down and they go,
farmer's market of radios.
Yes. They go, hi, my name is Jameis Winston and I'm here for Old Spice. And then they go, and then he comes on and he goes, I'm OJ Simpson. I'm here for Ginsu Knives. And then he goes to the next table.
You don't think
the
juice is in Vegas for Super Bowl, do you? Well,
oh, he probably is.
Of course he is. This is where he got Super Bowl weekend, was when he went and got his apparel back. Like,
hold on. So he was just in Vegas. You describe when he's arrested for shaking down a merchandise guy.
His apparel back.
When Juice got his apparel back.
When he.
Are you a Juice apologist?
Lawfully went.
He did not. He went to jail.
Listen. Lawfully. Oh, Wanya. You couldn't be any more wrong about the situation. When somebody has your stuff in their hotel room, if it's your stuff with your signature on it, my man.
I just think that you'd like to know, Chalmers, that real OJ, his last tweet to X World,
okay,
is a tribute to Apollo Creed.
Okay.
So he was obviously very moved by Carl.
If you're Carl Weathers, are you happy about that? If you're the Carl Weathers family, are you going, thanks, Juice? Or are you going,
maybe sit this one out.
Juice. Maybe you just
retweet Adam Sandler's post and call it a day there. All right. Well, we'll be back on Thursday with another episode of this podcast where Chalmers has promised to keep it 100 asterisk if he's in attendance.
Do the math. I've done one everything. I don't like this. This is slander.
All right. That is a wrap. Big shout out to Alberta Blue Cross and DoorDash. Big shout out to everyone who helped us sell out the Nation Vacation as well.
I can't wait. It's 2 weeks away. Like 2 weeks from today, we're in the mullet.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard nothing but great things about it as well. So
all good things.
Yeah. Just quickly, I'm trying to see if Betway has it up. How big a favorite do you think the Oilers are going to be tomorrow? Oh, it's not out yet.
Playing Vegas. It can't be. Like, please don't do us dirty, Betway. It's like mild favorite.
How big of favorites are the 49ers?
Boy, I just
two and a half points.
Yeah. Oilers now number one on the odds chart to win the Stanley Cup.
Hello. Hello.
They were at one point as low as 16-1, but Betway now has the Oilers and Canucks at 1-2. Yeah, Rick got him, what, 16 or 18, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doubled down.
That is crazy. His cash out is probably actually pretty tempting right now if he wasn't such a believer in his boys.
Speaking of Betway, do you know that I paid off my money line parlays that I do on Oilers game days?
Oh, you did the math on them?
Yeah.
So you've hit enough of those to be even?
$2.
Yeah.
I bet money line on every game when the Oilers play. Mm. So sometimes it could be 4 games. Sometimes it could be 15 games. I'm in the positive no matter what happens.
That's actually really impressive. That's solid.
Very good.
That way. All right. Okay. That is a wrap. Thanks everybody tuned in. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.